Welcome back. Rightly dividing the word of truth, and our area of focus is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Sir, this is very interesting. We are talking of rightly dividing the word of truth. On a certain time, I heard you say, judging from this scripture, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Yes.
I heard you say from this scripture,
yes,
that the Lord Jesus Christ has two ministries.
Yes.
Please, sir, can you throw more light? I don't understand.
Now, these are the two ministries. This is very important that we understand. Jesus has two ministries. You see the prophecy of his ministry in Isaiah 61, verse 1 and verse 2.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound.
Yes.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
To do what?
To proclaim the acceptable year.
The acceptable year of the Lord is the year of redemption. The year where your sins can be forgiven. Mm. The year where the reconciliation can be done for the sinner. Who has that ministry?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
No. How do you know? It's the prophecy.
Okay. It's a prophecy,
okay?
Yes.
It's a prophecy. Okay, and verse 2.
And the day of vengeance of our God.
Now, there is the proclamation of the year of acceptance, and also what?
The day of vengeance.
And also the day of vengeance. Can you see two ministries there? Can you see two things to happen there?
Yes, sir.
Now let's get it clearer now. From verse 16 of Luke chapter 4.
Luke 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up.
Now please listen very well.
And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written.
Where was it? He opened the book of Isaiah and went to Isaiah 61. And he began to read verse 1 and verse 2.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
He's quoting that place, yes.
Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind.
Then
to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Yes.
To preach the acceptable year
of the
Lord.
That is verse 2, correct?
Yes, sir.
That is verse 2 of Isaiah 61.
Yes,
read
sir.
It again. Go to Isaiah and then we'll come back here.
Okay, Isaiah 61, verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord
and
the day of vengeance of our God.
There are two events there. Hmm. There are two events there. Now,
yes, sir.
Come back to Luke chapter 4 and go to verse 19 again.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And he closed the book.
Now, he did not read the second part, which is to proclaim the day of vengeance. He didn't. Then he closed, but he closed the book. Yes.
And gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him.
Yes.
And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Which scripture? The first part there.
The first part, yes, sir.
This day is this particular one. Mm. So when is the next one going to happen? The next one that is going to happen is the day of vengeance, otherwise known as the day of the Lord, which is what 2 Peter chapter 3,
yes, sir,
and verse 10.
2 Peter 3, 10 says, but the day of the Lord
that
will come.
That is the day of vengeance. Will come as
a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Everything in the world here will be burnt up. Is that not with fire?
It's with fire.
Eh?
It's with fire.
That is the day of vengeance. Now, these two ministries are also in Joel chapter 2.
Joel 2.
Yes.
Yes, sir. From verse what, sir?
Now, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28.
Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward,
yes,
that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Uh-huh.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Uh-huh.
Your old men shall dream dreams.
Yes.
And your young men shall see visions.
Uh-huh.
And also upon the servant and upon the handmaids in those days will, uh-huh, I pour out my spirit.
Uh-huh.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
The sun shall be turned into
darkness. Go ahead.
And the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come.
Now, so here is what I want you to note. There are two things that take place there.
Mm.
Read it again, verse 28.
Verse 28.
Yes.
And it shall come to pass afterward, uh-huh, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Yes.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Uh-huh.
Your old men shall dream dreams.
Uh-huh.
Your young men shall see visions.
Uh-huh.
And also upon the servant and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit.
Now, that is the prophecy of Joel.
Yes, sir.
Now, but on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
Read it from verse 1 to 4.
Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire.
Now take note. It's like.
Mm.
It's not fire.
Okay.
It's like fire.
Mm. Wow.
Receive the Holy Ghost and fire. We are quoting here.
Hmm.
In the name of fire. That is not the primary application. It came
like
fire. Okay.
Hmm.
And did what?
And it sat upon each of them.
Uh-huh.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Uh-huh. And verse 12.
Verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another.
Everybody is around. Uh-huh.
What meaneth this?
Yes.
Others mocking said, these men are full of new ones.
Verse 14.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words.
Yes.
For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Mm-hmm. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Hmm.
This is that. But what did Joel say? Go read on.
And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh,
mm-hmm,
and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy,
mm-hmm,
and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams,
mm-hmm,
and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit,
mm-hmm,
and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above.
Now, you notice that verse 18 there, and they shall prophesy. Now, you will notice that this ministry is what John the Baptist was saying in Matthew chapter 3. He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And with fire.
Mm. On the day of Pentecost. So what happened there? It was Jesus that was doing it.
Mm. Amen.
Okay. Then he said, you know, the ministry of reconciliation is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the source of eternal life, the tree of life.
Mm.
So, he is the Father, judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment
unto the Son.
To the Son.
Yes, sir.
The Son also is the way, the truth, and the life. Eternal life is in the Son.
Amen.
So he's the one that gives eternal life, and eternal life comes by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
So it is his ministry.
Mm.
But also, Joel continue, verse 19.
Okay, and I will show wonders in heaven above,
uh-huh,
and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and pillars
now,
of
smoke. Now you will notice that this scripture has not yet fulfilled.
Yes, sir.
Hmm. It has not yet fulfilled because it is the second ministry he has to do.
Hmm.
The Holy Ghost comes down and baptizes the people. Because God is in the ministry of restoring us back to what he intended in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
His purpose can never be defeated.
Amen.
No matter how many years it takes. They've been taking up to 6,000 years now.
Mm.
But his purpose will still be fulfilled.
Amen.
Now, in restoring us back to the Garden of Eden, there will be need to, you know, he will harvest his own first. That is where the rapture comes in. So he gives the Holy Ghost, takes them away. So he's now in the ministry of gathering his own to take home. Then he will now come for the day of vengeance to cleanse this place. And he will cleanse it with fire. Mm. Peter saw the fire. Mm. And other scriptures pointing to the judgment that is coming. John saw it. Isaiah saw it. Jeremiah saw it. Ezekiel saw it. All this great event that will take place. And Prophet Joel also saw it. In fact, Joel had the privilege of seeing the two ministries. Mm. He saw the acceptable year of the Lord, and he saw the day of vengeance. Mm. And that is what Matthew, Jesus Christ, spoke also. And Matthew put it down in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24.
Yes, sir.
You know, and then verse 29.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, yes, shall the sun be darkened,
yes,
and the moon shall not give a light, uh-huh, and the stars shall fall from heaven,
uh-huh,
and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken,
uh-huh,
and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
You see.
And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn.
And this verse 29 is what Joel also saw.
Yes, sir.
You see, in verse 30 future of Joel chapter 2. He saw it.
Yes, sir.
And then we see it also in Revelation chapter 6. If you go to Revelation chapter 6 from verse number 12, I believe.
Yes. And I beheld.
Yes.
When he had opened the sixth seal.
Yes.
And lo, there was a great earthquake.
Uh-huh.
And the sun became black as sackcloth, uh-huh, of hair. And the moon became as blood.
That is what Prophet Joel also saw. It is the day of vengeance.
Mm.
And what happened?
And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth.
You see?
Even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs,
mm,
when she's shaken of a mighty wind.
Mm-hmm.
And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together.
Oh, man.
And every mountain and island were moved out of their places.
Mm-hmm.
And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and, yeah, the mighty men,
mm,
and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains,
uh-huh,
and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb.
Now watch verse 17.
For the great day of his wrath is come.
That is the day of vengeance.
And we shall be able to stand.
That is what, mm, Peter saw.
Amen.
And that's why in verse 11 of 2 Peter chapter 3,
mm,
Peter put this admonishment.
Mm. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved.
What will be dissolved? Verse 10 again.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, uh-huh, in the night,
uh-huh,
in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise,
uh-huh,
and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
When he said the heavens, that is the atmosphere.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up.
Everything you see, everything here will be burnt up.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved.
Seeing then that all these things we see physically will be dissolved.
What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
You see, that is why, in response to this, what manner of people is to get ready.
Amen.
So that you now understand why Jesus Christ gave that commission in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and verse 16.
Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, yes, says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world,
uh-huh,
and preach the gospel to every creature.
Uh-huh.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Saved from what?
Hmm.
You see? Hmm. He that believeth and is baptized. Baptism is water baptism that cleanses you. And more importantly, baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because that is, what he's telling you is that this acceptable year of the Lord, this is what you should do to be saved.
Mm.
It's the day of redemption.
Amen.
Then, if you reject it, you will be damned. If you accept it, you will be saved from the wrath that is coming up.
Mm.
That day, that second part of his ministry,
yes, sir,
is what I think is the same John in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist.
Yes, sir.
That is why you see him made that statement in in verse chapter 3, verse 7.
But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism,
yes,
he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Which wrath is that day of vengeance?
Hmm.
You turn down Christ, the next thing that is left for you is judgment. That is why also, you know, you see in John chapter 3,
John chapter 3, verse what, sir?
John chapter 3, verse 5. What does it say?
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee,
yes,
except a man be born of water and of the Spirit,
uh-huh,
he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Again, except
a man be born of water,
and of the Spirit,
he cannot enter into the kingdom
that
of God.
That Spirit there is baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
You want to be part of the kingdom that is coming, the kingdom of God, you must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Mm. And maybe for now, I'll give you another scripture.
Okay, sir.
Two ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 5.
Yes, sir.
In John chapter 5, verse 28 and verse 20. Now you see the two ministries
okay.
there.
Okay. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming,
uh-huh,
in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice,
uh-huh,
and shall come forth.
Uh-huh.
They that have done good unto the resurrection of life.
So there is a resurrection of life.
And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
And the resurrection of
damnation.
Damnation. Now you see the two ministries there. No, let me give you add another one for you.
Okay, sir.
In Revelation chapter 20.
Mm.
Yes, let me just give you another one there. The two ministries.
Mm.
And it is to be done by Jesus. That is why John the Baptist was referring to. He's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost, eternal life, and with fire, condemnation, wrath. Okay, now you see something here. We have the first resurrection.
Yes, sir.
And we have the second resurrection.
Mm.
And he is the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Now, he resurrects. The first resurrection is resurrection to go into glory. Mm. The next resurrection is resurrection for damnation.
Mm.
Resurrection for fire.
Mm.
So we see it spelled out here. For the purpose of Bible study, let's read it from verse 4.
Okay. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them.
Yes.
And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus,
uh-huh,
and for the word of God,
uh-huh,
and which had not worshipped the beast,
uh-huh,
neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Now, verse 5.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished.
You see?
This is the first resurrection.
The first resurrection. And he is the resurrection.
Amen.
And the life.
Mm.
And he said, the Father judgeth no man,
but all judgment to the Son.
Thank you very much. Mm. Now go to verse 6.
Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection.
You are blessed. Uh-huh.
On such, the second death hath no power.
So there is a second death.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
But they shall be priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Oh, and verse 11.
And I saw a great white throne,
uh-huh,
and him that sat on it,
uh-huh,
from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God.
Mm.
And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life.
Uh-huh.
And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books,
uh-huh,
according to their works.
Mm-hmm.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them.
Wow.
And they were judged every man according to their works.
Wow.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Fire.
Hmm.
Jesus.
Fire.
Fire. Amen. So you can see that the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry is to give us eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you reject it, the same him again,
hmm,
will come and judge you again with fire. Fire is for destruction.
So he's both savior and judge.
He's both a savior and he's a judge. The two ministries you've cut. That is the summary of
he's it. He's both redeemer and destroyer.
He's a redeemer and he's a destroyer.
Wow, this is interesting.
He's a savior and he is a judge.
So the Lord Jesus has two sides.
Two ministries
for
man.
For man.
Any other thing you are enjoying is under that grace. Saving ministry.
Mm. I was going to ask you, what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? But let me still ask you, how do you define the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
The definition of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a nutshell is those who have heard the gospel is a process of salvation whereby God causes you to hear the gospel when you respond appropriately by repentance. You knowing and repentance does not come until you are convicted.
Mm.
You are convinced and you are convicted. When you are convicted, it brings a godly sorrow. That is the godly sorrow that worketh or produces
repentance.
Mm. And you made up, you've realized the useless lifestyle you are living before alienated you from God, cut you off from the source of life.
Mm.
And you get to know that God loves you. You shouldn't be living that type of life.
Mm.
Then you begin to ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? Mm. Like they asked Peter on the day of Pentecost. Then you are not looking for a way. Man cannot help himself. Man cannot save himself. Nothing in man that can make a man live a life pleasing before God.
Mm.
Under the conscience age, man could not live a life pleasing before God. With your conscience pricking you, you will still live the kind of life you lived.
Mm.
Then it came the law.
Mm.
The law made it even worse for man to see how inadequate you are.
Mm.
Therefore, God decided to bring mercy, projected grace.
Amen.
So what is grace? It's that sinner that found himself helpless. And God comes down and says, I know what your problem is. If you open your heart for me, I will come inside. Now that you have come to me, I will do a work of conversion inside of you. I will come in there and change your heart. That stony heart, I'll give you a heart of flesh. That after that, that your spirit there, I'll give you a new spirit so that you have a better test spiritually. You will be more sensitive to the things of the spirit. Then after that, I will now come and be the anchor of your soul.
Amen.
By my spirit, I will come into man, dwell inside of you, and cause you now to have the ability to walk a life that is pleasing before me.
Amen.
That is what the Holy Ghost is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And not just to cause a life pleasing before him, the life that comes inside of is eternal life.
Mm, amen.
You see, it's a very wonderful life.
Wow. You're really breaking it down for us to understand.
So that's what the Holy Ghost is all about.
Mm,
that is why Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 2,
okay,
and verse 13.
Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Again.
For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure.
The ability to will and to do his good pleasure. It's God that does it.
Amen.
The life that I live, Apostle Paul says.
It's not I that lives.
But Christ that liveth, you know, in me.
Amen.
And he lives it by the power of that Christ.
Mm.
Very interesting.
Amen.
If you allow him to come inside of you through the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
That's why I say you have no eternal life until the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of you.
You have no eternal life. Until the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of you.
Yes, and it is only then, I can also add, you are not born again until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hmm.
Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you see what is spoke in John chapter 1, yes, verse 11 and verse 12.
John 1, 11, 12 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Uh-huh.
But as many as received him.
As many, look at us here, as received him, what does he do?
To them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Uh-huh.
Even to them that believe on his name.
Uh-huh. Go on.
Which were born not of blood,
you see?
Nor of the will of the flesh.
That is telling you who have undergone a process. But what?
nor of the will of man, but of God.
Those who have undergone a process, that is what he's saying.
Mm.
There is a process that God causes you to undergo. So that process is what causes you to receive the power to become the son of God. It's not an imputed power.
Mm.
No. It's not imputed.
Even internal life is not imputed.
No.
From what you're saying, sir. Yeah, because in Christendom today, once you say, I believe, they say you have eternal life.
No.
But you are saying that until you receive the Spirit.
That is why in Bride Assembly, in the month of June, every year, we give attention to this. Because just as they've gone in error, the denominations especially, in errors, the knowledge of even the appearing of God, three persons in one God, the Godhead, they've gone in error. Now, also, the process, the ordinance that God gave for the remission of sin, water baptism, error. A lot of error there. So also now, the three works of grace, which is justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, wrongly, taught also, until you can see process of sanctification, they tell you that you have no part in it. Jesus has done it. So, and if you commit sin, it's not you, it's your old nature. You are a new person inside. And all that wrong teaching. So also with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They have all manner of teachings that have messed it up. And that is why in Bride Assembly Church, every June every year, including June this year, and every other June until Jesus comes.
Amen.
We will gather the people all thanks to this ensign that has been raised, the Bright Television.
Hallelujah.
And teach them.
Hmm.
Precept upon precept.
Amen.
Line upon line.
Amen.
What the Holy Ghost is and what the Holy Ghost is not.
Hmm.
And we try to let them know that there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that is confused with the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Hey.
And all this is what we teach during the program. I know you want to ask me here now, but let them attend the program now.
Okay.
Let them attend the program. But if see, we're talking about the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
any
sir.
Question you ask me about the Holy Ghost, to the best of my understanding, I will explain it.
Wow.
So John, help somebody to see the need to go and make your calling and election sure. Don't assume salvation.
Mm.
Ensure salvation.
Mm.
And it's very easy to ensure it.
Mm.
Very easy to confirm.
Mm.
Because God is willing to confirm any experience you have.
Mm. Yes. Wow. So you leave me almost speechless when you said that this John 1:12 is not an imputed power.
No, it's not. It's a process you undergo.
Mm.
It's a definite process you undergo. Look at Ezekiel 36.
Ezekiel 36.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
From verse 24, I think.
For so I will take you from among the Eden.
This is the process. This is the process of reconciliation.
And gather you out of all countries.
Uh-huh.
And will bring you into your own land.
Now, first and foremost, this is to physical Israel.
Mm.
So also he does to spiritual Israel.
Amen.
Now, when we talk some of these things, a pastor friend of mine was asked by maybe one of our online members who happened to know him through our ministry. So he asked him a question about the divine agenda. And if I can get it for the purpose of clarification, he asked him a question and then he directed the question to me. He says, Shalom, sir. Please, can you help me understand Romans 2:8-10? Because looking at the divine agenda, I found it difficult to understand this verse. Seeing in the divine agenda, it's we that are to go first before the Jewish revival. And the brother is from Gombe. One of the brothers in Gombe asked him that question. And he sent him, and then he forwarded it to me. He said, please kindly help with answer as I'm unable. So he forwarded it to me. And I answered. My emphasis is not the answer for now. He says, because I advise him to let that person call me directly so that I can answer him rather than going through him. And then he answered here. He said, I advise, like Pastor Alu did, you ask the pastor for more clearer answers to the question. Now, he said, you know, my line of ministry hardly dwell on such abstract knowledge. That's what I'm going to. He said, you know, my line of ministry hardly dwell on such abstract knowledge. He said, Pastor Moses is well versed in such subjects. He said, you may wish to phone in or write on Monday for answer. Better still, I will help you forward your question to the anchor person on that program. Ask your pastor. Now, my father, why I brought it up is that he called these things we are putting together
abstracts.
They are abstract knowledge. I say it doesn't dwell in that. Now, you see, Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy, where he spoke about thoroughly furnished. I think.
Yes, sir. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3. The man of God.
2 Timothy chapter 3. From verse 15.
Okay. And that from a child.
Yes.
Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
You see, all. All.
And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
You see, and no preacher should downplay anything written here. And no preacher, I repeat, no preacher that gathers people and watches over them as a pastor, as a shepherd, is called to specialize in one aspect only. So who will take care of them in other aspects? You know, that is why you will hardly see the people involved. In the pastors, you know, denominational pastors especially, do you see them bothered about the book of Revelation? Because they are abstracts. They are abstracts. Black horse, right there. Red horse. And yes. I saw this. And I saw. So all the things that are written in the book of Revelation, you know, they are abstracts. All prophecies are abstracts. All prophecies are abstracts. You see, until Jehovah Witness believe that the Holy Ghost is a force. You see, every scripture that is written here is not written for fun.
Amen.
So don't just stay and say you are teaching your people. Let them just, you know, before you know what you'll be teaching them morality. You know, you'll be teaching them morality. You know, the gospel, Proverbs 4:18,
is as the shining light.
Shining light.
That shineth more and more. More. Unto the perfect day.
And more. And more. From faith.
Amen.
To faith.
Amen.
From faith. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
Read it from verse 6. Let's just get the picture completely.
We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world,
yes,
nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Yes.
Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
They are hidden. That's why they are mystery. Yes.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yes.
But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ye heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, The things which God had prepared for them that love him.
Yes.
But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
Yes.
For the Spirit searcheth all things.
You see? Yea, that is the importance of the Holy Ghost.
The deep things of God.
Yes.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him?
Yes.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God.
You see?
Now, we have received not the spirit of the world.
Watch it. Yes.
But the Spirit which is of God.
Uh-huh.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us.
And where are they given to us? God. In the Scriptures.
Amen.
Go on.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth.
That is why he called it abstract.
Mm.
Go on.
But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Uh-huh.
But the natural
now,
man.
Now verse 14. Because abstracts are not tangible.
Mm.
Abstracts are unseen things.
Mm.
In fact, the preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is an abstract. Because Jesus said, know ye no man after the flesh.
Mm.
Now we know him only in the spirit. That's why he told Thomas, you see before you believe. Blessed are those who will not see and yet believe. He was referring to me.
Mm. Amen.
Because I've not seen Jesus yet, I believe.
Amen.
And I know it was presented to me in an abstract form.
Mm.
It's an abstract.
Mm.
Go ahead.
Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit
what
of God.
What it means here is that you won't get the knowledge.
Mm.
You won't receive revelation.
For their foolishness unto him.
Yes.
Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
That is why they call it abstract.
Mm. But okay. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judge of no man.
Number 16.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord? That he may instruct him.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the mind of
now,
Christ.
Now if we have the mind of Christ, then we will have the knowledge of his mystery, the mystery of redemption.
Amen.
If we don't bring this thing down, if God does not raise ministries to make these things clear, how will we have been able to know that the seed of the woman in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, that woman is Israel.
Amen.
And that seed of the woman is Christ.
Amen.
You know, Now you will say, what has that got to do with salvation?
Mm.
It has to do with salvation because understanding God and his program enables you to know how to walk with him.
Amen.
You see, how will you be a member of a family and you don't know things concerning your father?
Mm.
You don't know about his kingdom.
Mm.
And you are hoping you are a prince.
Mm.
And then certain things about the kingdom, you say, I better put that aside. I don't need to know it.
It's abstract.
If you don't need to know it, then why did your father acquire it?
Mm. Amen.
Why did he write it down? He wrote it down because you are going to take over so that you will know all things.
Mm.
It's very important, church. Mm. Don't downplay any scripture.
Wow.
Now, you may not know it.
Mm.
Therefore, so if he has raised other people that teach it, then don't close your mind. Add it to what you know.
Amen.
You know, all these things, that's why, listen here, Ephesians chapter 4.
Ephesians 4.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Verse 11, verse 12.
And he gave some apostles,
you see?
And some prophets,
uh-huh.
And some evangelists,
uh-huh.
And some pastors and teachers.
Yes.
For the perfecting of the saints.
See, you see, the purpose of the fivefold ministry is for what?
For the perfecting of the saints.
Yes.
For the work of the ministry.
Yes.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
Now, till
we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Yes.
Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Uh-huh.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine.
You see?
By the slayer of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in
wait. So we have a great work to do. And we learn from each other.
Mm.
You know, what you don't know, somebody else will know, then you add to each other. Once we are part of the same body.
Hallelujah.
So I'm saying this because that word spoken to that brother saying that it is abstract. You see, that is a subtle way of saying don't, you know, it's not important.
It's not important, yeah.
Well, those who bother themselves with unimportant things are people like Pastor Alu. You can be asking him. Then he'll be telling you, wasting his time on those things that have no value to your salvation.
Mm.
You know.
Wow.
And that is why I am making comment on it for anyone that will think there is any aspect of this scripture to downplay. No aspect must be downplayed.
Wow. Okay, sir. We'll take a little break to digest all the things you've said. We'll come back. We'll still have further questions for you. And we'll be right back after the short break.